you're facing some hard times, all right? Most of us are facing some very challenging days. Maybe you're facing some challenging days financially. It could be that you've got somebody on your mind or heart in your family that you're facing some difficult days. Maybe it's a spiritual challenge that you're up against. Perhaps you've been emotionally down or discouraged. I want to tell you something. If you sit there and watch the news all the time, you're going to be defeated. Amen. I mean, the news, it's all bad 99.9% of the time. And if we're feeding our mind, I like to keep up with the news, but I've come to the conclusion, if I'm feeding my mind on the news all the time, I'm going to live a defeated life. And some of you, you've lost the joy of the Lord because you know, all this negative stuff, all this cynical stuff that we're hearing in America, in our culture, in our nation, and buddy, it can absolutely affect you whether you know it or not. It really can. And some of you have kind of maybe just like me at times have gotten kind of, you know, just a little cynical about this and that because we're filling our minds with a bunch of junk, information overload instead of the Word of God. But anyway, I'm glad you're here today, and I pray the Lord will encourage you, lift up the heavy burdens, hope for hard times. I want to share with you something that I've been mulling over here for a number of days, hope for hard times. And it was just last week I visited a man, and the man had been diagnosed, and you know who I'm talking about, with pancreatitis cancer, with liver cancer, and kidney cancer. What do you say to a person that's just been hit with an atomic bomb? I mean, the wind is absolutely taken out of their sails. If you've ever been sentenced to something like that, you know what I'm talking about. In fact, it wasn't very long after that, I went down and visited a dear lady, And she told me basically the same thing that the doctors told her. Her situation is terminal. I looked at her and I said, "What did you do?" And she said, "I cried." Now, I know sometimes we're detached from things like that, but we live in this old world, and I believe people need hope today. Can I get an amen? Oh, yeah, people need hope today. I don't know what it is, beloved. I just find myself, if I'm not careful, I find myself down in the dumps. I find myself, you know, looking at the negative things instead of trusting God, instead of praising the Lord. And there's some of us today that need to break out of our prison of doubt and begin to shout. There's some of us today that need to say, "Praise God, I know that my Redeemer liveth." There's some of us today that we've been robbed of peace that passes understanding. I don't know who I'm preaching to today besides myself. But speaking of that, I heard about, speaking of being hard times, I heard about a Quaker. Now, you know what a Quaker is. A Quaker who was had the responsibility of milking a cow. And this old cow was a cantankerous cow. This cow was a troubled cow. And the old Quaker was milking the old cow. And the old cow kicked the bucket over. And then the Quaker calmly picked up the bucket, put it back down, and started milking the cow again. That old milk cow not only kicked the bucket, but it stepped on the Quaker's foot, and the cow was just beyond control. And finally, the cow kicked the Quaker off the stool. The Quaker finally had enough and said, "Look," to the cow, said, "I want to tell you something. You know I'm a Quaker. You know I won't beat you, but I'll sell you to a Baptist that'll beat the tar out of you." Well, maybe somebody feels that way today. Hope for hard times. And you know you're facing some hard times. So let's don't pretend like we're not. This is church, beloved, and we need to get real with God. Can I get an amen? Yeah, you play church long enough that, you know, you kind of sit in here and you smile halfway, and deep down inside you're hurting. Deep down inside you need hope. Deep down inside you know that there's not that victory in Jesus. And today God is going to bring something to you today. Hope for hard times, because you can't give up now. You can't quit now. You can't throw in the towel now. Why? You know why? Because we're not home yet. Amen and amen and amen. Hey, look. I want you to turn your Bibles to the book of Mark. Now, the Lord has had me to preach a couple of messages on this through the years, but for some reason, the Lord led me back to this passage. Mark in the Gospel of Mark. Find Mark, all right? First find Mark, and I'll tell you what chapter to turn to. Mark, and here we're going to see in the Word of God, in the Gospel of Mark, we're going to look at chapter 5 in the Gospel of Mark. Don't turn me up too loud, please, Garrett. I may get a little louder, as you know, but thank you, buddy, for operating that sound system. In Mark chapter 5, we're going to look at Mark chapter 5, and what we're going to do is primarily two primary sections or points I want to bring out. Number one, why do you need hope? It's a very simple message, and some of you need hope today. You've been down and discouraged. Why, it doesn't seem like things are going good in your life. You know, this is going wrong and that's going wrong, and you're having troubles here, and you got physical ailments and problems all around you. We need hope today. And I want to tell you something. Look up here just a moment, please. When you lose hope, buddy, you're in bad shape. And some of y'all have lost hope. I can look at your face and see that hope is missing in your life, and that hope is something that you need to grasp a hold of today. Hope in the Lord. It seems like it's a hopeless situation. When you ever get down and you ever get hopeless, buddy, it is a bad situation to get hopeless. And there's some of the people of God that have felt hopeless for a while. You're going through something, a transition in your life. Somebody's moved out. Something's going on. And you feel hopeless. You feel empty. You feel like nobody understands you. You feel like nobody really cares about you. You feel like, can I really face tomorrow? You're concerned about your finances. You're concerned about your family. You're raising children and you wonder, how can they face this old wicked world that we're living in? You need hope today. I'm telling you, there's hope in the Lord today for you. There's hope for you if you believe God. Yes, there is. In the Gospel of Mark in chapter 5, we're going to see, really, and this is where I'm going in the message, just two simple thoughts. Number one, why do you need hope? We'll see that in a moment. And then number two, how can you get hope? Really simple as that. And if you're here today and not saved, then that your hope is not it's not in the right place. Hope, you can't put your trust in people, and you can't put your trust in your job and in things around you, because they're always changing. Our hope had better be on the Word of God. You know why? Because it doesn't change. Amen. And Jesus doesn't change, and that's where we're having problems. Our hope needs to be anchored in the Word. All right, I'm reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 5. If you'd like to stand as we read the wonderful Word of God. Point one is this. It's, and you notice I don't have it on the screen. Today I've been, listen now, say this lovingly as I can. I've been training you now for a number of weeks and months about having stuff on the screen, the outline and all that stuff. Today we're not going to do that, all right? And by now, hopefully you know how Pastor thinks. And so I already gave you my two main points, right? Why do we need hope? One. Two, how can we get hope? Simple as that. Write that down on a piece of paper. But we're going to develop those thoughts, all right? So those of you who like to take notes, there they are. Now, we're reading from Mark's Gospel, chapter 5. As we begin to read, you know that Mark is a more or less a secretary of Peter. And you're well aware that Mark's primarily writing to the Gentiles, namely the Romans, and his purpose is namely to present Jesus is all you really need. Jesus works. I mean, he cuts through the chase. He doesn't give a lot of other information other than he lets the readers, me and you, and the known world during that time, know that Jesus Christ is, in fact, who he said he was, God in the flesh. Mark chapter 5, again reading in verse 1. And they, who is they? Jesus and the disciples came over unto the other side of the sea. They're in the Sea of Galilee. Now, we were there just a few years ago, 6 miles, or according on which route they took, they came to the other side, into the country of Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. How many believe that there's still people with unclean spirits today? Yes, there are. Verse 3, who had his dwelling or his life, notice, among the tombs, that is, he lived among the tombs, and the word among is the word kata, which the Greek word, which means down in the tombs. Now, you know we're in the tombs. Dead people are in the tombs. Man, nobody wanted to do anything with this old wild man. Keep on reading. And no man could bind him, verse 3, last part. No, not with chains. Boy, this guy was in bad shape. He was in terrible shape, verse 4. Because that he had been often bound with fetters, shackles, and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him. He had supernatural power. The devil had a control over him. He plucked the chains asunder and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. Verse 4. Verse 5 says, and always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs crying. That word crying means loud screams. You could hear him from a long distance. He was crying and he was cutting himself with stones. I hear about young people today that cut themselves. That's what the devil had this man doing, cutting himself. It's no solution cutting yourself. I know you might feel have an unworthy inferiority type of complex. I want to tell you something. You could discover that God, what God's word says about you and God's love for you, and your unworthiness will become worthy because of who you are in Christ. That ought to set somebody free right there. Verse 6, but when he saw Jesus afar off, he saw him afar off, he ran and worshipped him. All right, pause right there, sake of time. Skip over to chapter number 5 and look at verse 25. Look at verse 25. I'll develop that thought in a moment, but hold that thought about this wild man. A madman who met the God-man and he became a glad man. Did you get that? A madman who met the God-man and became a glad man. And then verse 25 reads, sandwiched in between here, is another event that seemingly is a distraction to our Lord. How many of you have been distracted lately? Yep, you have, hadn't you? Yeah, and Jairus comes, but we're not going to probably have time to develop that. Rather, we're going to skip on through down to verse 25. If you're in verse 25, say amen. And a certain woman which had an issue of blood, 12 long years. My, that's a long time. 12 years this woman was bleeding. My, this is a long time. Don't just read over that. Skip over that. Glaze over that. 12 years. And had suffered many things of the physicians, and had spent all that she had. She was broke. That was what we would say in modern day. She had spent all the money she had, co-payments and all the rest. I mean, you know, modern day, she had spent all that she had and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. And when she heard of Jesus, I love that, when she heard of Jesus, somebody ought to tell you about Jesus. When she heard of Jesus, I've heard of Jesus, I mean the real Jesus. By the way, did you hear, quickly, let me insert this and we'll finish reading. You hear about this, listen, beloved, we need to be discerning these days. You hear about this daddy that said Jesus is coming while he's stabbing his child, killing his child last week? Y'all hear about that? Hey, the devil's real and the devil's counterfeit. I'm telling you, this has really happened in America. A daddy was stabbing his child, killing his child, saying Jesus is coming. That man's possessed of the devil, demons. Just because everybody says the name of Jesus doesn't mean they're a child of God. We got to be discerning these days. But anyway, that's another subject in itself. Look at it, verse 27, and when she heard of Jesus, look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, have you heard of Jesus? Have you heard of Jesus? I have. And when she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. And verse 28 says, for she said, if I may touch his clothes, but his clothes I shall behold. And by the way, where it says she said is in the imperfect tense, meaning she kept on saying it. If I could just get to him, if I could just get to him, if I could just get to him, if I could just get to him. Some of you need to get to Jesus today. Can you hear me? Some of you need to get to Jesus today. Don't you let somebody beside you keep you from Jesus. Don't you let somebody behind you or in front of you keep you from getting to Jesus. Oh, no, today is the day you need to get to Jesus. She said, I know that I would be whole. And straightway, verse 29 reads, straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that the heal. She was healed of her plague. How many believe that Jesus is in the healing business? Yeah, medicine or miracle. He can do it either way. But wait a minute. Her body was whole. And verse 30 reads, and Jesus immediately knew, knowing in himself that virtue, power. The word virtue is the word dunamis, which means power. The virtue had gone out and turned him about in the press and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked about and around and about to see her that had done this thing, but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith, sozo, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Father, I bless you that, oh God, hard times, difficult times, hope in you. And I know, Lord, that there's some that are hurting, some that are facing hardships, some that are facing issues that that maybe a few years ago were easy to handle, but now become more challenging. And I'm asking now, in the name above every other name, for you, precious Lord, to reach down as we reach up and, oh God, perform what needs to take place today in our hearts, in our minds, in our wills, our emotions. Oh, blessed Lord, we need you today. I need you. And I thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Here's where we're going in the message. Number one, why do we need hope? Why do we need hope? And the answer is because twofold. Number one, hey, listen. Are you listening? If you're listening, say amen. If you live long enough, watch this. If you live long enough, you're going to find yourself hurting. Y'all agree? This means yes. This means no. Do you agree? If you live long enough, you are going to find, I'm going to find myself hurting. And there's some of us today that are finding ourselves hurting. I'm not talking about just necessarily physically. I may be saying something about emotionally. You've been through a bitter divorce. You've been abused as a child. You've had an experience on your job, and you're frustrated and you're irritated. And today, you need hope. You feel like you're trapped. You feel like you're in a box. You feel like you can't get out. But God says today, you can reach up your hand to faith. God says today, you can have hope in Him because He is the God of all hope. I pray the Lord will just reach out His hand of faith. And as we reach out our hand of faith, He is the author and the finisher of our faith. You do realize that, Hebrews chapter 12. Number one, the first reason why you and I need hope is because if you live long enough, you are going to be hurting at some point or another. It might be a hurt of bereavement. There might have been a loved one that had been taken to heaven. It might be a close loved one. It might be a challenge in your family that, you know, your children or grandchildren aren't doing right or living right, or they're not necessarily treating you like you feel like you ought to be treated, and therefore you're hurting. You know what I'm talking about today. You know where you're hurting today. You know that the Holy Spirit has already began to turn the light on your heart where you're hurting. And so the fact is, we need hope today, and we can find it in Jesus. Number two, there's a second reason why you need hope and I need hope. It's because if you live long enough, you're going to find yourself hurting. And if you're not hurting because of somebody in your family, and if you're not hurting because of something physically, I'll assure you that if you'll lift up your eyes and look out in this community, you'll see people that are hurting. And if it doesn't cause your heart a little pain, and if it doesn't cause you to feel a little bit concerned, there's something wrong with you. There are some children out there right now are crying out, somebody help me. Somebody out there. Maybe somebody at the church at New Rocky Creek. Listen, I'm crying out for help. There's some alcoholics and some homosexuals, and there are some people that are steeped in pornography and drugs, and they're out there and they're saying, somebody hear my cry. You don't have to go very far to see the cries of humanity. And so there's a hurting world in which we live, and if you care about people, you're going to start hurting for them. Can I get an amen? You can't get under the burden with them to see extend help without hurting. Well, what do I do? It's helpless. It seems like it's hopeless. It seems like I can't get a breakthrough. They don't seem to be getting it. They don't seem to be coming along. And therefore, it seems like that you've just gotten to a place where you just don't know what to do. You've lost hope. You've stopped praying for them. You've stopped trying to ask God what he wants you to do about the situation. You're frustrated today and you need hope restored. You need hope to be rebuilt in your heart. You need the God of hope who's called you. As Romans 15:13 says, now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you might abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. There's a second reason why you and I need hope for these hard times. I'll develop that in a moment, the hope in the matter of hurting. But let me go ahead and give you number two. It's because if you live long enough, you're going to face some hellions, all right? As we read in the text, if you live long enough, you're going to face some hellions, like this demon-possessed man. Number one, if you live long enough, you're going to find yourself hurting. Wait a minute, let's go back to the count. This woman had an issue of blood. How long? I said, how long? 12 years is a long time. Think about it. Birthdays went, come and went. Christmases come and went. I mean, you know, I'm talking about the Feast of Lights that Jesus even participated. Read it in John chapter 10 if you don't believe it. And not only that, but spring and summer and fall and winter, they all pass. 1 year passed, 2 years passed, 3 years passed. And I can see that dear woman right now. She's thinking, I've got to have help. I need somebody to help me. I need something. I need a breakthrough. I've got a problem. I don't know what's wrong with me, but there's something wrong with me. And I need somebody to fix my problem. Don't you know she felt like an outcast? Don't you know she felt like a reject? Don't you know because of her physical condition, she probably didn't feel comfortable in public or in a society. She was always looking over her shoulder, and she was haunted day after day, night after night. As she laid her head on a pillow at night, she said, I wonder if tomorrow might be the day. Why, I heard about Dr. So-and-so. I've got some money, and you know what? It's worth a try. I read this on the internet. This is modern day, you know. I researched this. They're the best doctor that I could ever go to, and I think I'll try them out. And so she went to this doctor and that doctor and another doctor and another doctor. The Bible says she went through many physicians, plural. And Luke, by the way, who was a physician, said that she spent every bit of the money she had. She didn't have any more money. She was broke. She had everything. She exhausted all of her means. Don't you know she was discouraged? Hopeless. She felt hopeless. I heard about one lady was scheduled for surgery one morning, and the doctor came in. She was a little bit nervous, and the doctor said, how you doing? She said, well, I'm doing all right. She said, but tell you the truth, doc, I'm a little nervous because it's my first time of having surgery. He said, I know what you mean. It's my first time too, the doctor said. How many know that would bless you? Hopeless. Hopeless. There's some today that's, man, you look out there and you see the problems and you see the difficulty. You wonder, is there a fix? Is there a possibility of a breakthrough? God, how am I going to make it through? Lord, what's going to become of my children? What's going to become of my grandchildren? Oh, God, what's going to become of that man down there that's lost and undone and he's headed to a devil's hell? If he doesn't repent, will somebody give him a cup of cold water? Will somebody out and tell him about the love of God? Will somebody go and tell? And so that dear woman, she's down in the dumps. She is a weary, worn woman who's worried. She's weary and worn. I mean, she's been through everything. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. She said, I heard of Jesus. I heard of Jesus. How many believe there's a world out there right now that needs to hear about Jesus? I'm talking about the real Jesus. I'm not talking about some figment of our imagination. I'm not talking about a vending machine you put money in and get what you want. I'm not talking about a smorgasbord, Jesus, where you get a little bit of that and get a little bit of this, but you don't want that and you don't want that. I'm talking about the real deal. Yes, I'm talking about the Lord Jesus. She heard about Jesus. And you know what I suppose? I imagine she probably heard about him healing blind eyes. Maybe she heard, and perhaps she's heard about him opening deaf ears. She might have heard about how he had healed the lepers. She probably heard about how he had raised dead people back from the life. I don't know what all she heard, but I know she heard about Jesus. And I will tell you this, what our world needs and what our family needs is to hear about Jesus. Who's going to tell them? You going to tell them? You say, but Pastor, they sit in church all the time. I'm not talking about sitting in church. I'm talking about the real deal. And that is, they're watching me. I become bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. That's right. Out of our innermost being flows rivers of living water. Yes, Christ in me, the hope of glory. I'm talking about the gospel, not according to Matthew, not according to Mark, not according to Luke, not according to John, but the gospel according to Wendell, and the gospel according to Eddie, and the gospel according to Melissa, and the gospel according to Alice, and the gospel according to Tommy, and the gospel according to Nancy, and the gospel according to Nelda, and the gospel according to Bud. Yes, I'm talking about we are being read like a Bible every day out there. Every day. What are people saying about you? What are people reading about you? How do you treat people? How do I treat people? How do I live out in this whole world? Hey, people need to see the Lord. That's why we need to get with God and say, dear Lord, not I, but Christ lives in me. I must decrease, but you must increase. Oh, God, I take my place on the cross, crucified with Christ. That's what people need to see, is Jesus, not me, but Christ in me, the hope of glory. Well, this dear woman heard about Jesus. I can see her right now. Can you see her with your mind's eye? She says, I know if I can just get to Jesus. I've spent all the money I've got. It doesn't look like there's any more hope for me. And I'm hurting. I'm to the point I'm desperate. I love to see people get desperate, don't you? I love to see when people say, man, they start calling up here at the church, or they start calling your number, or they start asking you questions. They say, man, I need a breakthrough. I need hope. Hey, look, I don't think I've ever known in a time, maybe there has been, but it doesn't appear to me, there's ever been a time when people are doing this. Putting a rope around that, hanging them. Have you ever seen a time when people have committed suicide? Hello, have you? Why are they doing it? Why are they doing it? I'll tell you why they're doing it. The devil's mean and ugly, and they've lost hope. Don't you care about them? Hello, don't you care about them? Don't you wish, well, if I could have gone and talked with them beforehand, I'd have just told them there's hope in the Lord. Maybe they wouldn't have done that. They lost hope. They got in an argument that this happened. They're facing a financial crunch, and they don't know their way out. Many people don't know the Lord. That's why it's important for us to go and tell. Hope. This dear woman, as she's walking through the crowd, the Bible says she came up behind him. And I can see her in my sanctified imagination. She's pushing respectfully the crowd away. Excuse me, I got to get to him. Excuse me, I got to get to him. Whatever was in her way, she had to move it out of the way. I'm telling you, sometimes in this whole world, people are standing away from getting to Jesus. Don't let anything stand in your way. Don't let anything stand in it. You say, but you're sitting here today. You say, but you know what? If I become a Christian, I know about that brother over there. I know about that person over there. And I don't think there. Don't you let them stand in your way. Don't you look at them. Don't you measure your life by them. You measure your life by this right here, the blessed word of God. You measure your life by the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you measure your people by everybody in the church. Well, they don't do this and they don't do that. That's where we get in trouble. Can I get an amen? You know what I'm talking about. Some of you right there. I don't go back Sunday night because they don't. I don't go Wednesday because they don't. I don't do this, and I don't go to Sunday school because they don't. Hey, stop following the crowd and start obeying God. Amen? This woman says, I'm going to get to Jesus. I don't care what it takes. I'm going to get to Jesus. And there, the Lord didn't, he was, all indication, he had his back to her. At least he was not aware of who was touching him. And I can see her as she makes her way over there. If I could, I know if I could just touch the hem of his garment. And there's a lot of implications there. I don't have time to go into all the ramifications about the garment. But the point is, she had faith in God. And you can have faith in God. How many believe that God will never disappoint you? Listen to me. You may not always understand everything going on. I talked with a lady this week, and she said, Pastor, I'm having a lot of things going on. She broke her ankle. She's taking care of a man, a caregiver who's got Alzheimer's. She broke her ankle. She's laying in the bed. I went to her house, and she said, as she looked at me, she said, I don't understand, Pastor. She's a Christian man. I mean, Christian woman. And she said, nowadays, it might be a Christian man. I'm sorry I had to say that. Y'all forgive me. Anyway, but look, just send it your way. But she said this. She said, I don't understand. Is there anybody here? Look, is there anybody here? Look, is there anybody here who's ever said, Lord, you've been through something and you say, I just don't understand. Come on, talk to me. Yeah. A lot of us have, right? I don't understand why I had to go through this. I don't understand it. But I'll understand it in the sweet by and by. I'll understand it maybe somewhere down the road. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm telling you, no matter what, we can trust God that God knows us and God's got our best interest in mind. Stuff that we'd rather not go through, God's got a predetermined prescription for each one of us. That's right. I told y'all about the man that went to the doctor, speaking of that. I told y'all that before. If you remember, act like you don't remember. Will you do that for me for a moment? The man that went to the doctor said, man, I want you to take this red pill, drink a full glass of water in the morning. I want you to take this blue pill, drink a full glass of water for lunchtime. I want you to take this green pill, drink a full glass of water for supper. That is red pill, full glass of water breakfast, blue pill, full glass of water lunch, green pill, full glass of water for supper. The man said, Doc, what I got? What's my problem? Doc said, you're not drinking enough water, all right? So drink a little bit of water. So I'm telling you this, hope for hard times. That woman says, she touched him. She touched him. I said, she touched him. Watch this. Will you reach out your hand? I said, will you reach out your hand right now? Will you reach out your hand to faith? Oh, if I could just touch him. Oh, he touched me. And all the joy that touched my soul, something happened. And now I know he touched me. And reach out your hand of faith. You're going through a hard time. But God's saying, reach out your hand of faith. Reach out your hand of faith. That's right. Reach out your hand of faith. Don't let the Lord pass by you without reaching out your hand of faith and saying, oh, dear God, I need to touch the hem of your garment. Some of you right now in your heart, you need to reach out because you've got your back up against the wall. You can't figure it out. You're at your wit's end, and you don't know what you're going to do. You can't seem to be handling it, and you've got anxiety on your mind, and you find yourself worrying about it all the time. And God's saying, reach out your hand of faith. I see you doing it right now. Jesus looked about. Something happened. Virtue went out. Power went out. Who touched me? The disciple said, there's a big crowd. You know, where Jesus ever shows up, there's a big crowd that follows him. Amen. And then the woman, the weary, worn down, worried woman, begins to back up as Jesus said, who touched me? And she knelt down. And Jesus said, woman, your faith has made you whole. Go in peace. You want to impress the Lord today? You know what impresses the Lord? Faith in him. You going to believe God today? You going to trust God? Hey, look, number one, why do we need hope for hard times? Because one, if you live long enough, you'll find yourself hurting. Number two, if you live long enough, you're going to find yourself facing a hellion. And this dear man right here, that I feel impressed right now to bypass what I was going to share. Rather, I feel like right now is the time to reach out your hand of faith. Stand to your feet, would you? You know who you are. You know how anxious you've been and how worried and troubled you've been. And there's hope for hard times for you. There's some of you, you know how you get hope? I'll summarize it. The woman said, if I could just touch him, I know I'd be whole. There's faith in God. There's trust in the Lord. Jesus said, if you'll just believe, there's some of you today that you tried this, you tried that, but you're no better, and you can't seem to get a breakthrough, and there's not that deep abiding joy in your situation or peace. Hey, you need hope. You've been wrestling over this issue for a while. And you know who you are now. There was a crowd around Jesus. I wonder who else touched him. Some just let him pass right by. Some didn't get help. You can do that today. You can reach out your hand of hope today. Hand of faith. God, I'm going through a hard time. I need hope. I need you. My marriage needs hope. My family needs hope. My attitude needs hope. My outlook on life needs hope. My future, my eternity. I need hope in you, knowing my sins are forgiven. Will you get to Jesus today? You know you need to. You know you need to. You need hope. Will you get to Jesus today? Whatever's in your way, they'll move. People around you, they'll move. They'll be glad to move. Even before we sing, right now, right this moment, some of us need to just slip out and say, God, I need to get with you today. I've lost hope. I need hope in you, Lord. You're my hope. You're my refuge. You're my strength. Don't look around at everybody else. You know your situation, okay? Don't look around and see what everybody else is doing. You, see, you got distracted just then, didn't you? Instead of letting God speak to you and you doing what God told you to do, you got distracted. Don't get distracted. Stay with what God is saying you to do, okay? Hope. Hope. Father, we thank you now for, oh God, I don't know how everybody else feels here, but I know at times I just need to reach out my hand of faith. Or say, oh God, I need you. I need your grace. I need your strength. I need your wisdom. I need a double portion of your spirit. All that we're facing these days. Lord, I know every Sunday school teacher ought to feel a need for hope to be the best they can. Lord, all of us who are servants of yours in this dying and desperate world need hope to be a blessing to somebody. So, Father, we reach up our hand of hope now. Ask you to meet with us. Impart to us your very divine life. You are our hope. Hallelujah. You've got everything under control. it's out of our control. We're desperate, Lord, for breakthroughs. We yield afresh to you. Lord, help us as your church and as your people, daddies that are here, that are frustrated, mamas that are feeling insecure, help us to reach out our hand of hope, our hand of faith. Problems that we can't fix, situations we don't know what to do about. But we thank you, you're our refuge. And we give you glory now, in the mighty name of Jesus. Come to Jesus today and be saved, would you? Please, 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 this service is for you today. If you've never by faith received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that's your hope, eternal life, as we sing. Go ahead, Brother Garrett. Eternal life, I want to know that I know, Jesus.
Grace, how sweet.